on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now the green light's switched on. Ready.
With the latest news, interviews and tips from kennels and courses around the country.
Fernando Bale came out of the machine, Hammond.
Welcome to Going Greyhounds.
Welcome to Going Greyhounds for another week. I'm Dave Carlson, and in the week that was, in our sport, there was the scintillating win of Burn One Down for Shona Thompson in the listed super stayers at Albion Park in Brisbane. And I'm going to be joined by Jason Thompson shortly. In other news, expatriate Australian chaser and last year's super stayers champ Ring the Bell blitzed them again in New Zealand, taking out a heat of the Group 1 New Zealand Stayers Cup at Addington. And our man across the Tasman, Pete Fenimore, will be with us for the latest ahead of this week's final. We'll also get New South Wales Greyhounds journalist Stewie Turner on the line. I'm on annual leave next week for 6 weeks, and Stuart is going to be hosting this radio show. But first up on today's show, we have a very serious matter to discuss. The ACT government's announcement that they'll be banning greyhound racing there as of June 30 next year. Now, they'd already announced a ban on funding, which is due to come into force this coming Saturday, July the 1st. The ACT's government's plans to ban greyhound racing were announced on Friday morning, just gone, following a greyhound industry transition options analysis by Mary Durkin. The ACT Attorney General, Gordon Ramsay, made the announcement, saying that greyhound racing was out of line with community values and that there is no place for the sport in the ACT. Ramsay added that the Labor government there will continue to work with the local greyhound racing industry and animal welfare groups during the next 12 months, saying that the government made a commitment at the last election to end the industry. Well, ACT Greyhound Racing Club spokesperson Kel Watt is on the line. Kel, good morning. You've been quoted as saying that the announcement is a backroom deal between the ACT's Chief Minister, Andrew Barr, and the Greens in order to stay in power.
Oh, it absolutely is. They've protected their own two jobs by throwing 50 local other jobs on the scrap heap. It's under the guise of animal welfare, and yet the 38 years that the Kiama Club's been operating, there's not been a single breach. In fact, there's not even been a single allegation made to any authority about animal welfare concern. There's never been an adverse finding. And in fact, the Mary Durkin inquiry you referred to a moment ago completely supports that up. So it's not just the club saying that. It's not just the industry putting rhetoric out. It's been independently verified multiple times over nearly four decades and as recently as this last week. But one thing, Dave, you mentioned there was that Gordon Ramsay said he would continue. I find the use of that word quite remarkable. Continue to work with the local industry and animal welfare groups. They've never consulted the decisions and announcements they've made in relation to shutting down ACT racing or cutting funding or rehoming or any sort of transition packages, have never had any consultation or feedback or comment from the local industry. So we're completely bewildered by the attack. And the only explanation for it is that a minority government who scraped into power by one seat last October had a deal with the Greens and their demands were met completely carte blanche. And that very sadly included killing greyhound racing in Canberra.
Kel, the ACT Labor Party stated that it would move to end greyhound racing in July of last year when former New South Wales Premier Mike Baird announced his ill-fated intention to ban it in New South Wales. And Gordon Ramsay said on Friday that the greyhound industries in New South Wales and the ACT are inextricably linked, and his government cannot turn a blind eye to the sort of behaviour and animal cruelty uncovered in New South Wales.
Well, it's simply not true. And I might say that as recently as June last year, so just 3 weeks before Mike Baird made his announcement, the former racing minister, Mick Gentleman, came out and publicly supported both the funding and the ongoing racing of greyhounds in the ACT. So when Mike Baird made his announcement, there was a knee-jerk reaction. Andrew Barr, as chief minister, wasn't even in the country. He was in New Zealand. And he must be the world's greatest speed reader because in less than 3 hours after Mike Baird had held his press conference, he used social media to make a statement saying there was, quote, no future for greyhound racing in the ACT. That was despite the fact that the McHugh report made no findings or recommendations on the ACT. In fact, didn't even consider ACT circumstances. And the Chief Minister could not have possibly read the close to 1,000 pages, could not have possibly consulted with his Cabinet colleagues as he was in intergovernment discussions and negotiations. So it was merely a knee-jerk reaction, an example of how he had fallen hook, line, and sinker for the talking points of our opponents. But I might say one of the other things I touched on there is that the government claims they went to the last election with a clear policy. Again, another lie. From June last year up until the election on October 15, there were seven different policy positions, some of them minor, some of them big changes, but there were seven different policy positions. And the announcement last week, last Friday, by Gordon Ramsay that there would now be a ban is the 14th policy change in 12 months, but also completely contradicts his position as recently as March, where he stood up in question time and announced that racing would remain legal after July 1 this year when the government chose to cease funding.
Kel, the Durkin report noted that from 2012 through to 2016, 26 of the over 27,000 greyhounds which raced at the track in Canberra were euthanised due to injury. That's 0.09% of the dogs which competed at the Canberra track.
Mm. They did. Now, look, 26 out of 27,000 dogs being raced is still 26 too many. But if you want a comparison, it's actually lower than the community standard. So if you had 27,000 dogs running around local parks, jumping off your couches, playing in backyards, the injury rate and euthanasia rate at the Canberra track is actually lower than the community standard. But every opportunity that the club gets to improve welfare and integrity at the club, they do. So over the last 5 or 6 years, they've seen a massive investment. So hundreds of thousands of dollars invested in resurfacing a track, the new track. It's now, we regard it really as the safest in Australia. I'm sure there's a few listeners out there who might jealously guard their own opinion of their own local track, but we would argue that it's the safest in Australia. With new safety rails, the composition of the track, the different processes and policies we have in place there. We also have introduced other policies in recent times, and not just in the last 5 minutes or the last few weeks, but over the last few years, we've now got a 100% rehoming policy. We're the first in Australia to do that, and we're currently rehoming over a dog a week. The local club funds and works with a community group to remove all financial barriers to any trainers or owners moving dogs onto an adoptive home, as well as making sure that any new prospective parents and family pet owners also have their financial barriers removed. And we have a 0% unnecessary euthanasia policy. So the standards being applied in Canberra are actually better and have a greater animal welfare standard than the RSPCA or other community groups. If you drop a dog off to the RSPCA, the clock's running on how long that animal can be supported. In Canberra, if a dog can be treated by a vet and rehabilitated and rehomed, we will provide indefinite funding and indefinite timeframes to make sure that can happen.
Kel, in economic terms, how much could this decision cost the ACT per year, and how many jobs could it cost?
We inject, look, there was an, and again, this is a figure that we're very proud to stand by, because it's not just us claiming it. It was an independent figure that came up after the ACT Treasury a few years ago had an independent inquiry. So they found that the ACT racing industry was injecting about $1.86 return for every dollar that the government invested into the industry. Now, racing's gone up about nearly 25%. Gambling and racefields income has gone up by about the same margin or a bit more. So we can comfortably say that the ACT economy enjoys a benefit of over $2 million a year. That's directly and indirectly. There's also around about 50 local jobs. Now, to some states, that might seem small fry, but when you're talking about an economy that has only 350,000 people in it, it's quite a big deal. It's not a drain on the government coffers. We provide great support for local jobs, but we also service almost the entire southeast corner of New South Wales with a state-of-the-art track. So ACT residents certainly enjoy the benefits of what the club does, but we have a base of trainers and breeders and owners that probably about an hour and a half, 2 hour drive around us, use Canberra as a regular trial and training track. and of course race there, and their prize money benefits not just the ACT economy, but also goes back to the local country towns. So well, Canberra will have a $2.5 million dip, but these little tiny towns of Bungendore and Gunning and Yass and others are also going to cop it.
Kel, New South Wales Deputy Premier and the local member there for Monaro, John Barilaro, has stated that he would move to open a new track just 5 or 6 kilometres up the road in Queanbeyan in New South Wales should the ACT ban not be overturned.
Yeah, it's an interesting position, isn't it? You go back only a very few months ago when the New South Wales government were the bad boys and looking like they were shutting down the industry. But John Barilaro, to his credit, at that time he was a minister, but he's now filled the role of the National Party leader and is now the Deputy Premier. So we've had conversations with him already. It's very rare for a politician to say they were wrong and to try to make amends, but we've seen that in New South Wales. So John Barilaro, his kind offer will certainly be taken up in terms of negotiating and starting talks. But this is, it's not even Plan B, it's probably Plan C or Plan D. Part of the reason the Canberra Club wants to stay and fight is that there's a wonderful track out there, there's great facilities, and we believe we've got a very strong legal position, both to go after funding and make sure that $1 million a year that comes through from the government to the club can be maintained. And there's a bit of a complex legal argument around that. But in a nutshell, when the old government-owned gambling organisation was sold off, the money that the club used to receive through the Racefields income there was moved to Treasury, and we were on the same level there as Thoroughbred Harness Racing. So we believe we've got a very strong position there. We also believe we've got a very strong position because the current legislation demands that the government can only move to shut down the industry after an inquiry is held by the local racing commission, and that inquiry must be independent. That has never occurred. So we'll fight there because it's protecting the local industry and protecting local jobs because a new track doesn't appear overnight. But more importantly for your listeners, there's 8 out of 8 states and territories currently racing in Australia. Now, our opponents will go after what they believe is the lowest hanging fruit or the weakest state and territory, and right now they think that's the ACT. Once there's a hole in our map nationally, it sets a precedent and it's a chink in the armour. So you'll then see the Northern Territories and the Tasmanias and the South Australias and all, progressively, the states and territories are going to be chased by our opponents. And once the ACT falls, it makes it much easier for the next state or territory to go. So by standing firm in the ACT, we're not just protecting the local industry. There's actually a bigger game at stake here, and that's protecting the industry nationally. Now, having said that, though, Dave, if worse comes to worse and we can't race in Canberra, the bizarre thing about this as well is the government saying that they're going to be saving millions of dollars by not providing funding to the territory industry. Well, we'll simply move literally down the road. Now, if you're standing at the Canberra track, you can see into New South Wales and you can see just on the horizon the spot of land where a new track, Greyhound track, could be built. So we'll take the big fat check in compensation that we have to be paid under the Lands Acquisition Act. So if you're listeners, they might remember the great Aussie movie, The Castle, where they're talking about, it's not a house, it's a home, and you have to be compensated in just terms. Well, the just terms, we've got over 10 years left on our lease. We've got millions of dollars worth of facilities that we've built up. We've got millions of dollars worth of income over a decade that have to be replaced. So we will take that big fat check if worse comes to worse and work with New South Wales and John Barilaro to get a new track built in Queanbeyan, literally 6 kilometres down the road, and make sure that the local servicing of the industry can continue.
Well, Kel Watt, you speak with great clarity. We thank you so much for your time, and we will, of course, be monitoring the continuing fight to can this latest ban. Kel, thank you for joining us on Going Greyhounds.
Thanks very much, Dave. I might put a last plug in and say to your listeners that their support and passion for the industry in Canberra is more important than ever. We will need some financial support. There's a GoFundMe page set up. If they can do a bit of a search on Canberra Greyhounds on GoFundMe, a donation as little as $5 will help our legal battle and protect the industry that we love and that they love.
And folks, I must let you know that I contacted the ACT Attorney General's office on Friday by phone and email to request an interview with Mr. Ramsey, but at the time of going to air today, I've not received a reply. Joining us now is Jason Thompson, following the fantastic win of Burn One Down in the listed Superstayers at Albion Park on Thursday night. Jace, congrats again to Shona and yourself on the win. His first look at the track, let alone his first trip on a plane.
Yeah, no, it was a good result, Dave. He handled himself pretty well with the travel, and while he didn't begin that well, he certainly handled the track well, so it was a good result.
He ran a flying 41 and 71, dominating with a lap to go, and I guess he'll only benefit from the experience in Brisbane, which hosts the Nationals in August.
Yeah, well, to be honest, when we entered him, I didn't even realise that the national final was in Brisbane. But then, taking that into account, hopefully, if he did happen to reach that final, at least he has had a look at the track and experience travelling. And as I say, if he was able to make that final, it'd have him in good stead for that race.
Well, Jason, Burn One's down 41 and 71 compared to Fanter Bale's 41 and 78 in the Gold Cup the week prior, and that really sets up a tantalising clash, all things being equal, between Australia's two best stayers, starting in the Victorian series.
Yeah, well, the staying ranks, I think, in Australia are pretty healthy at the moment, and even more so in Victoria, with the likes of obviously Burn One Down and Fanter Bale, and there's a couple of other dogs that are certainly going really well down here, and we've got another one that the Pringles own, Midnight Elsa, who I've got a massive opinion of. So I'm sure the distance heats in Victoria and then ultimately the final in Brisbane, it will be a very, very good race.
Well, Jason, Burn One Down. I still can't believe that amazing win in the race call, as it sounded, and that was just incredible. The dogs overcome injury, and you haven't overcooked him this prep.
No, look, he's probably, as far as being, 100% toughened and sort of miles in his legs to run 700, he's probably still, a little couple of weeks away from that. So I think going forward, there's a nice race at the Meadows coming up. I think it's sort of middle of July, over 700, and then obviously the distance heats start after that. So I think, with that sort of program coming into the distance race, I reckon, bar an injury, he should be 100% and, really looking forward to it.
Well, Dave Pringle has been quoted saying retirement for Burn One Down could be only several months away, but there's plenty on the plate between now and then.
Yeah, look, there is, but... I think that's, look, however many more starts he has, obviously we don't know, and hopefully if he stays sound, he's still got a bit of racing left. But, the dogs, he's 3.5 now, and he's had the majority of his races over 700, and whilst we haven't ever overtaxed him, it's got to take some toll on him when they do have a lot of 700-metre runs. So we're not just going to race him for the sake of having him going round. And he's got a lot of ability and he's been a fantastic dog. So we'll look after him. And whether he has one more race or, 15 or 20 more races, only time will tell. But, I wouldn't think, retirement, it mightn't be that far away, to be honest. So hopefully we just make the most of the way he's going now and he can keep going the way he is.
Jason, your kennel has had a pretty top week. Sandown Cup finalist, you just mentioned before, young chaser Midnight Elsa scoring at Traralgon on Saturday, and Warrnambool Classic and Speed Star winner Bewildering at the Meadows.
Yeah, look, both of those dogs went really well Saturday. Midnight Elsa, as I said, we've got a massive opinion of her, and possibly, as Burn One Down, maybe sort of phasing out with his career, she's just beginning and really excited with hopefully what she can do over 700. Just a terrific chaser and got the world in front of her. And Bewildering, just first one over 600. And the McKenna Memorial Heats of Thursday week, which is what he's getting named at, wrapped with the way he went Saturday, ran the 600 out really well, found a bit of trouble, but yeah, found the line well in really quick time. So yeah, looking forward to seeing what he can do at Sandown in the heats of the McKenna Memorial.
Well, Jason, all the best to you and Shona and the kennel going forward. And as always, thanks for joining us on Going Greyhounds.
No worries. Thanks, Dave.
Jason Thompson there. All right, it's time to head across the Tasman now and catch up with our Kiwi correspondent, Pete Fenimore. Pete, reigning Australian national distance champ, Ring the Bell, made it 3 from 3 in New Zealand on Thursday night, strolling to a victory in a heat of the Group 1 New Zealand Stayers Cup in Addington from Box 7. He made it look easy.
He sure did, Dave. No, it was a massive performance once again by Ring the Bell. Now been trained by leading Canterbury trainer Ray Acock on behalf of Gerry O'Keefe and the team there. But no, effortless. He took the lead with a lap of the trip to run and was never challenged after that. He got home by 7 1/4, clocking of 43 and 55. And compare that time with the other heat, YMAC for John McEnany. He required 44 and 28, so a very, very clear margin to Ring the Bell.
Yeah, Johnny McEnany, as you said, YMAC causing an upset in the other heat. And Pete, the fancy Shandell and Tranquil Blossom, they could only finish 3rd and 4th respectively.
Yeah, that's right. Shandell, of course, she won the New Zealand Stayers Cup in 2015. She set up the pace and be blunt with you, Dave. When looking at that overall heat time, she was disappointing. And I can't say anything much more than that. She was caught on the line by Can't Catch Tim, of course, now a kennelmate of Ring the Bell. And Can't Catch Tim for Ray O'Cock won the Stayers Cup last year, so he's also back.
Now, Pete, Ring the Bell returned $1.40 fixed odds from Tab here on Thursday evening. Just how short do you think he could be in this week's final?
Probably similar, Dave. Look, it's only going to be bad racing luck that's going to beat him. I just saw absolutely nothing else in that heat. Although there is a very much what I would consider a improver from those seats, Tranquil Blossom. Yes, she only finished 4th in the heat, but she got absolutely carved up during the early race. She got checked again with a lap of the track to run, and she was impeded, held up at a crucial stage. She absolutely rocketed home to claim her 4th placing. She, to me, will be the improver, but honestly, nothing can touch Ring the Bell. The most impressive thing about his run, and by the way, Dave, he's got a pretty handy kennel name called Disco.
Disco? Well, yeah, it's Disco, got Group 1 written all over it, Pete.
Yeah, absolutely. but the most impressive thing about his race last Thursday, he was on track debut at Addington, and Addington is a very hard track for greyhounds to race on first up. Money is a big wide-open track. There's no outside fence. It's a two-turn track, no outside fence, and a lot of the visitors tend to get lost. This bloke certainly didn't.
Well, I got you here, Pete. Yesterday at Manukau in Auckland, Apawa Brad took out the Group 2 New Zealand Breeders Stakes, giving trainers Gene and Dave Fahey their 99th group success. What a remarkable kennel they have.
Oh, absolutely, Dave. And, obviously, they've picked up a lot of the Australian bred greyhounds over the years. They have a very smart one going around at the moment called Miracle Warrior. But yesterday at Manukau, the Group 2 New Zealand's size produce stakes, the Power Brad, there was a sensational scratching. The pre-race favourite, Thrilling Surge for Karen Walsh, it was withdrawn, had a hip support injury. The Power Brad from the 2, he was installed as the favourite. He certainly didn't disappoint. He led virtually all the way. He won the Group 2 by 5 lengths in 30 and 36. But the most significant aspect about that, Dave, as you just pointed out, 99 group race winners for Dave and Gene Fay. I believe they'll bring up their 100 at Addington on Friday evening. Of course, that's New Zealand Stayers Cup night. They have qualified 2 finalists for that race. That's the Group 1, but the race I believe they will take out with either Power Shackley or American Warrior will be the Group 2 South Island champs.
Please pass on my best to the great people, Pete, and to you. Thanks for joining us. And all I can say is go the Wallabies against the All Blacks in the Bledisloe.
Didn't you watch the second game from Eden Park, Dave?
Yeah, well, Eden Park, they ought to pull that joint down. Put the wrecking ball in there, I reckon.
No. It's the fortress. It's the fortress, mate.
Well, Pete, thanks for joining us and enjoy Addington this coming Friday night.
Certainly will, Dave. Cheers, mate.
Peter Fenimore, who always keeps us up to date from across the Tasman. From New Zealand to the UK now, and the semi-finals of the English Derby have been run and won, with the final to be contested next Sunday morning at 6:04 our time. Here's Julie Collier from Sky Sports UK with the wrap of the semis. Thank you, as always, Julie Collier from the UK. The market's open for the English Derby final. Tab.com.au fixed odds and Claire's Rocket from the $3, $2. Tyra Shea from the $5, $2.75. Higher Butt from the $1 is $5 on the third line of betting. 5:56 a.m. on Sunday morning. You'll see the action on Sky Racing. Now, just some news out of New South Wales Greyhound Racing. The Dapto Megastar, the Group 1 on the South Coast on the Illawarra, has had a change for this year. Now, in previous years, they've invited five greyhounds and then had a prelude to fill up the remaining three places in the Group 1 final. This year, it's going to be different. There are going to be four heats, with the first two in each heat going through to the final of the Group 1 Dapto Megastar. And also, nomination closing times are going to change for some meetings in the 2017-18 racing season. There's been a review of nomination flows by Greyhound Racing New South Wales and the Operations Unit. From this Saturday, the 1st of July, nominations for TAB meetings held on Monday will now close at 9 a.m. the Thursday prior, while nominations for TAB meetings held on Tuesday will close at 9 a.m. on the Friday prior. Nominations for Casino Friday will now close at 9 a.m. on the Tuesday prior. And regular nominations for non-TAB meetings will now close at 9:15 on the Wednesday prior to the meeting. More details on the Dogs website. Look, before I go, I think it'd be very remiss of me not to get one of our great mates on the line, Stewie Turner. Stuart Turner's going to be taking over the collar and the lead on Going Greyhounds while I take annual leave from next week until the middle of August. Stew's on the line. Thank you for stepping up to the plate, old son.
That's all right, Dave. I certainly can't step into your shoes, mate. You're one of a kind. But no, it'd be great to be on Going Greyhounds. Really looking forward to it. And there'll be loads to talk about over the next couple of weeks as well. We've got a couple of cracking Group 1s on the horizon down in Victoria. So look, there'll be loads to chat to. And yeah, I'm just really looking forward to it, mate.
Indeed. And we've got the Group 1 Winter Cup heats at Albion Park this Thursday night. We've got the New South Wales in New South Wales country racing, the Grafton Carnival. It's the first time I haven't been into to Grafton at this time of year for ages. So there'll be a stack to keep you entertained, along with the Nationals too, Stu.
They certainly will. And at the moment in New South Wales, we've got some greyhounds who are coming into great form, aren't they? We've got the likes of Royal Turbo, who, yeah, he seems to be coming into great form just at the right time. Mr. Twister, of course, he had no luck at Wentworth Park on Saturday night, but he'll be a great chance for those nationals as well, won't he? So, yeah, look, there's loads of fantastic racing on the horizon, and I guess we wouldn't have it any other way, mate, would we?
Indeed, Stuart. Well, look, go well, break your leg, and I'll catch you when I come back. I'm heading over to the States just on a Greyhound education tour.
Okay, that's what we're calling it. Well, you look have a great time, mate, and you take care. Have a great holiday. You certainly deserved it, and we'll speak to you soon.
Good on you, Stewie. Thanks very much. Stuart Turner there. As Going Greyhounds concludes for another week, it'll be on the skyracing.tv website a little bit later on. Just go to radio and podcast Going Greyhounds and you can listen back to it. And myself and Dave Stanley on the Catching Pen tomorrow evening at 6:30 on Sky Racing 2, right after In the Gig. Hope you enjoyed this morning's show.